We continue the series of conferences or lectures given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life. In the following lecture, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Manifestation of Conscience. Father Hardin.
By number one, Manifestation of Conscience. First, an explanation, or if you wish, definition of manifestation of conscience. Manifestation of conscience is a voluntary self-disclosure that a person makes to another person in authority in the church in order to be more effectively guided in the spiritual life. Manifestation of conscience is a voluntary self-disclosure that one person makes to another person who is in authority in the church in order to be more effectively guided in the spiritual life. Evidently, in the religious life, this manifestation is made to those who have some authority in the community. Why do I call it voluntary self-disclosure? Because the church has gone out of her way to insist there must be no coercion of any kind. There are some religious institutes, I belong to one. It's the only one that I'm absolutely sure of, the Jesuits. We are required by our constitution to make a manifestation of our conscience to superiors. Now our superiors are assumed to be priests, and we have the privilege if we want to, we don't have to, but we may if we wish, make our manifestations of conscience under the seal of confession. But the general law of the church is not to require, as I've just described it, to demand by rule the manifestation of conscience. However, even though it is not required by rule, it is highly, and that's a very weak adverb, it is highly recommended. Now, some self-disclosure is absolutely necessary. The degree of the self-disclosure will depend on the person, on the one to whom the self-disclosure is made, and on the circumstances in which, especially the religious, finds him or herself. What then do we mean by self-disclosure? What is covered by the self-disclosure? First, in terms of time span, the past, the present, and the future. The past need not be only my past sins or failings. Some people, if you listen to them long enough, you wonder if God's grace had ever touched their lives. And I would say for those in authority to make sure that there is a balanced self-disclosure of the past and not to allow the religious to just talk about their failings or sins, which, as I've discovered, some people use as a form of self-flagellation, which means what? Sister Linda. Self-beating or whipping. Self-scourging. No, that past should be both the things that I've done wrong and also the things that with God's grace I have done good. The present. What I am presently doing. What is the state of my soul? Especially whether I'm at peace or not. And the future. How can I disclose the future that hasn't come into being yet? Well, that's easy. What are my desires? What are my hopes? Because, be it said, just so you've heard it once, we never do in the future what we don't desire in the present. So the self-disclosure means that I disclose my desires. And some people can be very shrewd, you might say. They will disclose the past and the present, but not the future. Then the areas of self-disclosure. The graces that God has been giving me. The sins that I have committed. The virtues that I have practiced. The experiences I have had.
For instance, if a person wanted to create manifest their past, how often could that be made?
Well, let me say what St. Ignatius gave us. And I think, as far as I know, there may be other orders or congregations of the church that require it. I know of no other. The Society of Jesus requires, by rule, manifestation of conscience. On the 25th of this month, on my way to Chicago, which will be, is it 2 weeks from today? What's today? Well, at any rate, I will have a conference with my provincial. And he's supposed to, whatever time he will give me, to tell him all that's on my mind, past, present, and future. I would say that if I manifest what my experiences are, this would include the desires that I have. What specifically would be the thrust of your question, sister?
Specifically would be something is known of an individual. So it isn't necessary for you to know. And it's never been manifested.
This is regarding...
Now
may I ask, are you speaking known about a third person or known by the person about him or herself?
It involves the person.
In other words...
For instance, let's take an example that would... For instance, you are speaking now of people having experiences now that were never experienced by those who came into the religious life before. All right, now those things might be known to those who are in a position to accept these people into the congregation. Well, then some of the things that would be necessary to be manifested at the time of entrance and so forth, if they are accepted and so forth, there would be no further need of those to go any further than the people involved at that time, would there? And they would have to be manifesting that to a superior or a provincial or someone in the future.
Well, I would say this. First of all, I distinguish, as I've made just a moment ago, the distinction between requiring manifestation and recommending. No, we are required. We must manifest our conscience. Now, we can do it under the seal of confession because we are priest superiors. But we don't have to. In fact, it's preferred not to do so under the seal. But we are required by our rule to tell everything to superiors.
And if you have a new superior in your house, then you would manifest.
No.
That's what I'm getting at, Father. Once it's been manifested, then that would...
When we enter, we are required by law to make a complete self-disclosure in the novitiate. And for us, the novitiate starts within 8 days of entry. Usually it's done during the long retreat, which for us lasts 30 days. And it can well take a day to make a complete manifestation. You might want to come back after 3 days and talk for 2 hours. You've got 2 more hours or 4 more hours. Now, my recommendation has been over the years for those in charge of formation to explain this to the persons who are entering, to make it plain that they are not required by law. and the superior, or the one in charge, may by no means, that is, by coercion least of all, even by persuasion or otherwise, try to pull things out. It should be as voluntary as the circumstances warrant, but to point out the value of self-manifestation. If they do so, fine. However, I don't think it is out of order for those, say, entering apostolacy, and surely the novitiate, to write some kind of autobiography. Now, how much they put into that autobiography is up to them. And they should be told that they are free to not disclose what they, before God, believe is better kept a closed book, even from those in charge of their spiritual formation or their superiors. Now, if it touches on the external forum, as we say, suppose a girl had been married. Secretly, not many people know it, but she was married. Well, that would have to be manifested, because it affects the public forum, as we say. But then, at least to make a manifestation to the confessor. Now, I think that the ideal way in which this business of manifestation of conscience can be done is to encourage the young religious, or at least young in the religious life, to manifest as much as they then have the grace to say. And women tend to be far less self-revelatory than men. Men are less concerned to have their past or their interior known. It's just part of a woman's nature that she tends not to reveal herself, except gradually, and only to certain people, and in some things to nobody. I mean, that's the tendency. But to be encouraged in various ways to point out the benefits of self-manifestation, both in terms of humiliation and especially for direction.
What about a situation, and knowing that we can't coerce at any time, but suppose someone came to me and said, you know, specifically asking for spiritual direction, but then is unable to, doesn't know how to go on and talk, can I feel free to pull things out?
Oh yes, oh yes. But I would say, tell the person, hey, you don't have to keep repeating this, tell the person that before God, you are not strictly obliged to totally reveal yourself. Now, tell me as much as you can, as you want to, as much as in your judgment before God you think I need to know to help you. Now, the importance of that is that you can see the practical consequences. There are certain things that are disclosed in a manifestation of conscience by religious, say, to a woman religious, where they couldn't be under the seal of confession. The one receiving the manifestation does not have the grace of the priesthood, does not have the obligation of the seal of confession. And it may not be easy to use this knowledge just to help the person, and not either to be affected in one's dealings with that individual because of what you know about her, say, or worse still, not to share it with somebody else. So, and the person should know that they are not strictly obliged. Their obligation, such as it is to disclose only as much of themselves as is necessary to get spiritual direction. So you can ask questions, and you don't have to keep repeating, you know. Now, remember, you've taken the Fifth Amendment. You don't have to incriminate yourselves. Understand?
Yes, sir.
So we're not, this is not civil law. This is faith. In most cases, there's no problem, and provided you are not curious. I think a good norm, because superiors and others have asked me, well, what norm should I use? A good norm, and do this periodically in counseling others, is restrain your natural curiosity. Do not ask such questions as, before God, you must admit are being asked to satisfy your curiosity and not to help the person. And then, don't worry.
What I found with the person who, after they do make a manifestation of conscience, what it does to them, it just seems to make them feel much more secure in the community, because they themselves know that they have, you know, what you might say, laid themselves bare, and now they have nothing that they have to worry about. And they just feel like they're a real part, and they can really now get down to business and start their spiritual formation.
This is very true. Remember canon law, which deals with this subject, is law. The only reason, a very good reason, why the church has made that provision that no religious must be or may be required to make a manifestation of their conscience is in order to make sure that, well, the person knows their rights, that they do have a sacrament, namely a penance, in which they must manifest themselves completely, that they're protected. But, except for that, to protect their rights, I would say anything you can do to encourage them and point out the benefits of self-disclosure. Because, honestly, it is, if not impossible, but it's very difficult at least, to give adequate direction unless you know whom you're directing. Agreed? And consequently, provided it is done freely and spontaneously, but be patient. Some people don't know how to manifest themselves. Because, in one sense, to totally manifest their conscience might take as long as it took them to live the experience. They've got to synthesize. They've got to choose and pick. So, fine. Provided it is clear to them that there is no compulsion, but the church distinguishes and says, it is voluntary, the sky's the limit. There is nothing that a religious may not and may not be encouraged to disclose to those who are directing, say, the person's destiny, provided they want to. The law touches not the self-disclosure. The law touches only the coercion. Is that clear? That's very important.
At one point you mentioned the autobiography. Now, that would be a manifestation of
practice. Yes, that is very good. And I would say it's a good thing to start with that even before they enter. And most people don't mind writing an autobiography. They may be a little worried about the grammar, but except for that, most people like to, I think this is a safe statement, talk about themselves. Now, it's remarkable how from one year to the next, how, you know, more self-disclosing they will be. Now, I would say this, Sister Melanie, maybe this was your question, or both of you, the recommendation, and because this is what I know from my own experience, that very early in the religious life, they should make as complete a disclosure as possible, with all the provisos that I've given, of their past to that date. Then, we require, and this is by constitution, St. Ignatius, that every year, when the provincial meets us, that we make a manifestation from the past or the last manifestation.
You know, I used the autobiography, and I found that you can't just tell them to write an autobiography, because what they put in there mostly is just external things that you can tell just by looking at them. So I found out that you have to really give them a list, say, well, name your weaknesses or your good points or your strengths or anything that you think that I need to know to help you about you. So.
And make it point of them. And you don't have to keep coming back to it. In other words, remember you've got your constitutional rights. In this case, your canonical rights. You don't have to keep coming back to it. You wouldn't even have to tell them, but you have to know that you are not in any way using coercive measures to pry out of them. It must be spontaneous. Now, to whom, sister?
Probably a lot of these manifestation of consciousness does take place before that, you know, with the candidate.
Yes.
And sometimes they really reveal the matter that it's really conscious matter. Maybe it comes to the behavior or something like that. And I can see there were times that you would have to let that known to the one who accepts.
Well, not necessarily. Now, I would distinguish between the order to which I belong and other communities as bound by canon law. In our order, before you're admitted, you must admit conscience matter. You must. Confessional matter. But outside of the sacrament, I think we're unique in the church. One reason, I think, is because of the phenomenal liberty that we have, which, of course, many of our people have abused. But I think, well, I know, that for those who are belonging to congregations like yours, that while they should be encouraged to tell whatever they wish to say, which includes, as you say, conscience or conference or confessional matter, things they've done wrong, maybe even gravely wrong. That's what you're saying. I would say it really depends on them whether they want to manifest that to somebody else. They may not want to, or they may not care. But if you read from their whatever preliminary life story that say they've lived, in concubinage, that they've had sexual relations, that they've committed maybe some grave sin, which is serious, publicly serious, if it affects their public reputation, well then, yes, must be disclosed, because there is even an impediment to certain grave sins committed publicly. But take a thing like intercourse. Would a person, say a girl who has had intercourse, now applying for the community, would she have to have that known if she tells it in whatever preliminary report she makes? Would that have to be made known to those who accept her? I would say no, unless she wants to. And the reason is because she may in time want to. She's not taking her final vows 48 hours after entering. There's such a thing as, reformation of morals. Now, if the constitutions provide and they say the church does not encourage them, there are still some in the church, however, that require physical virginity for admission. For them, that, of course, would have to be known, because that's a condition for valid admission. But, I would say the best thing, frankly, if you read such a life story and at one reading you can tell immediately these are matters that are pretty serious and superior, say it is someone who is a vocation directress or whoever it is that has access to that information to speak to this prospective candidate, would you mind if I shared it, say, with Mother General? Does that make sense? See, otherwise, and I have a good deal to say about confidentiality, it would be disastrous if, having made that kind of a disclosure to you, say, to one person, they then discover that their confidence was, as they felt, betrayed.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.